I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to be talking about the grand opening of the new YMCA at Cityway. This Y promises to be different than anything Indianapolis has seen. It will feature new opportunities for physical, spiritual, mental, and cultural growth. My guests are Eric Ellsworth, President and CEO of the YMCA of Greater Indianapolis, and board member Steve Corbett. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is nolimitswfyi. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking about the YMCA in Greater Indianapolis as the Y at Cityway in downtown prepares to open. If you'd like to join this conversation, you can give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. Or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Eric Ellsworth, who is the president and CEO of the YMCA of Greater Indianapolis, and Steve Corbett, who is from the YMCA board. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you.
Well, and I think obviously the news hook for this one is going to be the opening of the new YMCA at Cityway and all of the festivities surrounding that, which promises, and I'm going to use a cliche here, it's not your father's YMCA, and that has actually particular resonance for me because when I was a small kid, my dad actually was a youth director at a YMCA. So I learned to swim at the Y. I went to Y camps. I did all of that. It's an important part of my childhood and my life. So I want to talk. You've got a big event. The opening of this starts on Thursday. Could you talk a little bit about what that grand opening is, Eric?
Sure. December 10th, we won't be open to the public until the 15th of December, but on the 10th, we're going to be doing a VIP event. So this is basically all the people who have contributed to the project, all the partners, that kind of thing. In the evening, we'll have kind of a 5:30 to 7:30 reception at the new Y, so everybody can get kind of a sneak preview of the YMCA, those that have been really intimately involved in the project over the last four years or so.
How large a project is this? I mean, when you're talking about all the partners and all of that, that also equates to donors and people who helped to make it happen. I mean, how much did you have to sink into this? Why?
Well, the total cost of the facility, all costs in, is about $24 million. The construction cost is more like $18 million. But a lot of hands, a lot of donors have been in the project, and a lot of partners as well.
And, you know, in terms of that, we probably ought to explain, just in case everyone listening to this, where is the Y, this new Y at Cityway?
Yeah. It's South Street in Delaware, so it's right on the corner. A lot of people know where the new Alexander Hotel is, so
yes.
It's directly south of the Alexander Hotel and directly north of Eli Lilly's new front door on South Street.
And Steve, I'm going to pull you into this as one of the board members and probably one of the people who had to sign off on this idea. Why was doing this? We're going to talk about how it's different, but why was this a priority for the Y as an organization and for the board, presumably?
It was a priority for the Y because to continue to serve the community, not only do we need additional buildings, but we have lots of programs where we're offering to the community, and every organization oftentimes has to grow to continue to serve the mission.
Eric, let's talk about the ways, some of the features of this new Y, what people, most of the public won't get to see until December 15th, but other people are going to see here in just a couple of days.
Great. We've got some things that people would expect the Y to have, and then we've got some unexpected surprises and some unique features as well. Some of the things that people might expect are we've got two swimming pools in the facility, a lap pool, cool water, and a warm water pool for aquatic therapy and also for families. We've also got three high school-sized gymnasiums. So the gymnasium complex is fantastic. It's unbelievable. We don't have anything else like it in the state of Indiana. We've also got a tenth of a mile elevated running track, which is, I think, people will be really excited about. We've got a state-of-the-art wellness center with over 100 pieces of health and wellness equipment in it. We also have a sauna, a jacuzzi. Those are both on the pool deck. We've got cardiovascular and strength training equipment. Some of the more unique things, though, is we've got a healthy cooking studio. So we've got our own teaching kitchen, and we'll be teaching healthy cooking in the community. We've also got 4 specialty exercise rooms. We've got our own spin cycling center, our own yoga center, and 2 other group exercise spaces. And we've got 2 green roofs on top of this facility, one of which where we'll grow vegetables to be used in the teaching kitchen. And we have a unique partnership with the Franciscan Alliance where they're going to provide health services as part of our facility. And we're going to be handling the prevention side of chronic disease control while Franciscan does the healing side of that equation.
Steve, something you said struck a chord with me. You talked about how the Y made this a priority because, in effect, you've got to go out and meet the needs of the community. You've got to figure out what they are. Could you talk a little bit about how the mission of the Y has evolved over time?
Sure. The Y has always been focused on helping and mentoring young adults. And obviously, when you look at one of the things that the Y does is before school and after school care. The Y has a variety of programs to help influence youth, to help change the pattern and help really educate youth. And obviously, the Y is very concerned about the overall health of this community. And so one of our initiatives is to get Indianapolis back into the top 10 performing communities in the United States. And that'll take work with not only just facilities, but again, programs, volunteers, donations, and this whole community helping for a common goal to make this a better community.
What do you mean by top 10 performing communities in the United States?
Health-wise, weight, diabetes prevention, all the things that this country is fighting. Indianapolis is not where we'd like to see it as a community, and so this is one of the initiatives that the YMCA is taking on to do that.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the upcoming grand opening of the new YMCA at City Way here in downtown Indianapolis. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. So I'm going to pose this one to either one of you. There are some new features here, and it is there are components you don't necessarily associate with the Y. I'll go with it because I grew up as a Y kid. You know, the Y of my childhood was a place where you went to swim, you went to play basketball, or, you know, in my case, you went sometimes to just go hang out in your dad's office. You know, it was the focus was almost exclusively on those athletic activities. You could take some gymnastics classes and things like that. We've got components here of healthy cooking, spiritual growth, all of that. What was the impetus behind that, Eric?
Yeah, a lot of that came from a market study that we did regarding what kind of programs we might offer at the Downtown Y. And we learned some things that actually surprised us. One was that children and families on the near southeast side of downtown would want to use this facility because typically Downtown Y serves pretty much the downtown workforce but not families on the perimeter of the downtown. So what we learned was that children and families on the near southeast side would come and utilize programs, and that we'd have an opportunity not only to mentor kids, students at the new Y, we'd also be able to offer a whole gamut of programs. And another thing that surprised us was that we learned that about a third of the membership of this Y would come from the near southeast side neighborhoods, and about 2/3 coming from the downtown workforce. So we also know that we're planning on doing teen night activities on the weekend nights and recently, you know, there's been some difficulties in the downtown area with just some violence and some crime and that sort of thing. We think we can provide some great alternatives for kids and teenagers to some of the things that they might be getting in themselves into from an unsupervised standpoint.
Okay, first question out of that, you know, the families and all of that in this market study, what did they say they wanted from a Y?
Right. Well, for sure, they wanted mentoring, as Steve mentioned already. They want to have our staff interacting with their children to help them to learn the principles of caring, honesty, and respect and responsibility. So really just basic character development. And we think we've got the staff that we try to hire staff that are equipped to help young people make good decisions. Some of the other things that we are doing we talked about disease prevention, and the Y has two really strong new programs. One is called YMCA Diabetes Prevention, and it's a group exercise program for people who maybe don't have full-scale diabetes but are already starting to take medication and that kind of thing. We've got a program that was developed through IU Health and the Regan Streiff Institute and the Y that it's been documented can help people to slow the diabetes process and even in some cases prevent diabetes completely. So that program plus another program called Live Strong for cancer survivors are some of the kind of things that the community is telling us that they want from us that maybe we haven't offered in the past.
And how much of this, you mentioned obviously that downtown has had some issues in terms of young people and violence and all of that. I'm going to throw this to either one of you, which may actually ask both of you to take a crack at it. You talked about providing alternatives for them, that the Y, that would be one of the functions of this Y. What are some of those alternatives, and why is that so important to the Y as an organization?
Well, YMCA Leaders Club is one of the things that we offer as a program to young people, and basically teaching people that everybody has the opportunity to be a leader in some way, and we invite people to come and be a part of this program. It's a program that's staffed by the Y. We've also got a youth and government program that we utilize to help teach democracy to the next generation. So those are a couple of examples of teen programs that we'll be offering at the city, the YMCA Cityway, along with all the other 12 YMCAs in our system.
And Steve, I'm going to throw this one your way. I mean, in some ways, we're talking about the evolution of the mission away from, to some degree, a gym and a pool and a place for kids just to hang out, to much more of a kind of community center or almost town hall kind of setting.
That's very correct. And again, the Y is very focused on programs and programs that can provide positive mentoring, positive leadership. You know, young kids, you know, not only does downtown have problems, but all parts of this community, there are problems. And the Y can provide leadership to help young individuals take a different path, help them with nutrition, and just help them to think about being future leaders and not problematic leaders.
Well, I'm going to stay with you for a second, Steve. Why is the Y? I'm going to, that's an awkward formulation, but I think I'm stuck with it. Why is the Y best positioned to do that kind of work, or well positioned?
Yeah, our mission and our part of our goal initiative is to provide leadership and not only just leadership to young adults, but leadership to this community. We feel like that those that are volunteering and donating to the Y expect us to do that and expect us to move forward in the community with positive leadership and mentoring. It's not rocket science. It's just that we have to be extremely focused on it and making sure that we're making a difference and providing alternatives.
So was some of this pressure, or pressure is probably not the right, did the impetus from this come from your volunteer and your donor base saying we want to be more involved in these issues and we want the Y to be more involved? Eric, you're nodding your head, so I'm going to throw that one your way.
Sure. Community leaders have told us that they feel like the Y is a problem-solving organization and is a cause-driven organization that has the capacity to be able to impact real change on some of the community's biggest issues, like both health issues in the community and education issues. So when we went through our last strategic planning process, there were two things that stood out for us as potential opportunities. And community leaders told us that they thought that the YMCA, because of the space that it's held from a health and a chronic disease prevention standpoint that we'd be able to really impact that area.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the YMCA. The springboard for the conversation is the opening of the new Y at City Way in downtown Indianapolis, but we're really talking about the evolving mission of the YMCA. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are Eric Ellsworth, who's the president and CEO of the YMCA of Greater Indianapolis, and Steve Corbett, who is on the YMCA board. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about the YMCA in Greater Indianapolis. Springboard for the conversation is the grand opening of the new Y at City Way in downtown Indianapolis. But we're really talking about kind of the evolving mission of the Y and how it is responding to, you know, new social trends, in some ways new social problems. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can do what a listener named Gary has done. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. And Gary has sent us a question saying, while I was a student senator at Ivy Tech, we were discussing some of the income inequality issues present in today's world. However, I learned of an initiative to allow students to have child care while the student is in class. Is this good for the community? And I'll throw that either to Eric or Steve.
I would think it would be good for the community, if I'm understanding the question, about child care while someone else is in a class, because that's a true reality of this world. There are young adults and young folks having children at a young age, and the Y, again, wants to provide good alternative solutions to help individuals move forward that may be causing them a particular barrier.
Cheryl, welcome to the program.
Hi. I have a question regarding a current membership that I have with the Y.
Okay.
Yes, I've been a member for quite some time now, but there's some activities that will be, available at the downtown Y, and I just wanted to know if my membership at the current Fort Benjamin Y would be eligible to just join some of those activities that's downtown.
Good question. Thanks very much for the call, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Your membership at the Benjamin Harrison Y gives you the opportunity to use all of the 12 YMCAs that are part of the YMCA of Greater Indianapolis, and the new Y downtown will be one of those 12. And so you can take advantage of every program that we have in all of our 12 centers and use all of those facilities. So the good news for you, good answer.
I want to talk a little bit about what we were doing before we went to the break, and that is sort of how that mission has evolved over time. And we were actually talking during the break about how the mindset when my dad was a Y director, youth director, really was about, and this was in, you know, Cleveland, which also was an urban area that had some challenges. The mindset then for the Y was really, okay, let's get these kids to some degree out of the city if we can and get them out into nature. Even the name, which I think it was dispensed with about 12 years ago, you were part of YMCA Indian Guides and all of that. And now it sounds like the approach is much more, we're going to meet these young people where they are. It's going to be less about trying to get them out of their environment than trying to figure out ways to make their environment work for them. I'm going to let both of you have a crack at that one. Eric?
Yeah, I just, a lot of our leadership in the YMCA, the board, realized that the Y was performing functions that were so much more than just the typical Y gym and pool. Mm-hmm. And so we thought that we had a real opportunity to be a real cause-driven organization, and that cause being to help people grow in spirit, mind, and body in everything that we do. And so some of the changes that people are seeking in their own individual lives, the Y wants to help people to welcome that change achieve their health goals, achieve their educational goals, that kind of thing. And so we're just looking at going deeper than we've ever gone before from a program standpoint, and offering more than just facilities, but really getting deep into programs that will really change a person's life for the good.
Steve, is that part of what pulled you in as a board member? I mean,
yeah, I've been involved with the Y, I think, for a little bit over 18 years, and they're one of the things that the organization is very, very intentional about. How can we help the community? And then we're very intentional about not doing things if we don't think that we can influence behavior and change. The why is just really, and we have a really deep, strong strategic planning process where we look at things that can be game changers in this community, and health and wellness and teenage leadership is something we're extremely focused on.
What kind of work, because as you say, the old mission was traditional, you know, pools and gyms kind of thing. How did you have to go about repositioning the organization? I mean, it's one thing to say you want to do this stuff. It's another thing to get yourself ready to actually do it.
One of the things, and when you look at the community and the community needs, and then also organizations that fund and support the Y with our programs, oftentimes there have been really strong board discussions. We have some facilities that make money and some facilities that don't make money, but they all serve the community in different ways. And so we have to make sure that we're focused on making sure we're serving the community, and not every situation the Y is involved in will be a financially rewarding situation, but we think that hopefully all situations are rewarding to the community and that we're providing leadership.
What are Eric, I want to give you a crack at that one too, in terms of repositioning. You know, you got a staff and all of that, and to tell them, okay, it's not that it was ever as simple as blow the whistle and open the pool or throw a basketball out under
right.
the court or whatever. But you're making new demands of the people who work at the Y too and
right.
are connected with it. How do you get them ready for that?
Well, one of the things that we started by doing was to take a look at all the programs that we had that were performing a good service, and thought about how we could go deeper. And we looked at this current staff that we had, and we actually hired some subject matter experts to help us to look at some of our signature programs to say, how can we take a program like, for example, before and after school youth enrichment, because we serve about 10,000 kids every day and out of school time. And I think you know that that's sometimes the most dangerous mm-hmm. time in the day for a student, where that period in time when they're out of school but their parents aren't home from work yet. And so we turned what was before traditionally a child care program into a youth enrichment program that really will help the community and them from an achievement gap standpoint. So the way we've helped ourselves is we've done a lot more hiring of school teachers and a lot more, as I said, looking for subject matter experts on ways to help us do that. And so we've done that not just here locally, but they've also done it on a national basis as well with the Y.
Has there been any pushback? I mean, anytime any culture changes, there are people who are not comfortable with the change. Was there any pushback on sort of this evolved and in some ways expanded sense of mission? Eric and Steve, I'm going to give you both a crack at that one too.
Well, I think there's oftentimes always pushback when you change culture, but the Y has done a really, really good job in Eric's leadership with helping staff to understand what the mission is, how they want to accomplish it, and then helping them, you know, if there is a culture change the behavior, and making sure that they're aware of why we're moving in a different direction. And so that's extremely important, and again, dealt with in strategic planning. And one of the reasons I've been able to be a volunteer is because the Y has extremely well-educated, strong staff that's very, very capable and challenges change.
Eric.
Sure. I'd say that from the staff standpoint, the question that the only pushback that we got is this going, is this change going to work? Is this, is you know, evaluating and going deeper on the programs, is it going to work for us from a overall standpoint? But the community has been incredibly receptive. In fact, they've been surprised and have welcomed all the change that's taken place because they see that we're helping them to solve some problems with their, in their own lives or in their own families that that maybe they just couldn't manage without the help of the Y.
And you talk about the community has been responsive to this. Obviously, with this new Y, there are, you know, one of the things you're going to be touting are new partnerships. Could you talk about what some of those partnerships are and what they bring to the table, what they bring to the common mission?
Sure can. Maybe the most visible partnership, because it's a facility partnership at the new Cityway Y, and that's with the Franciscan Alliance. And so at Franciscan, they're going to be offering things like family medicine and physical therapy, and they'll also have a lab there, and they'll be doing imaging services and that sort of thing. So as you might imagine, because there are a lot of physical programs at the Y, people are can look at this facility as kind of a one-stop shopping place for health services. And the Franciscan Alliance space opens right up into the Y, and the Y opens right up into the Franciscan space, so people can move freely between the between both this this medical office space and the YMCA facility. Also, their doctors and nurses and health professionals can use the YMCA's facilities to help with their with the therapy aspects of the Y. So that's been a really purposeful partnership that we've had, and we find that hospitals are fast friends with YMCAs these days. In fact, we have five different healthcare partnerships with five different of our health services organizations in the greater Indianapolis area. So that's one example of a partnership. We've also talked with our friends who operate community centers on the near southeast side, like the Concord Neighborhood Center and those folks. And they're also glad that we're coming into the neighborhood because we're going to be sharing facilities with them and ways to serve the maybe some of the young people that they're already serving. So that was one of the things that we were committed to going into this downtown facility, was to say we want to be a good neighbor to every all the people who are served and have services provided by the near southeast side neighborhoods.
Probably ought to ask a basic question, because we are talking about people who are somewhat underserved. In many cases, you know, one of the barriers to inclusion, you know, is a financial one. Mm-hmm. Are there, you know, scholarships or whatever for these community members who might want to have their children there and all of that, but simply can't afford even the most basic Y membership? Eric?
Yes. The Y, I want to say this was about 8 years ago, we developed an income-based membership program so that we could catch all different segments of the population from an economic standpoint. And we're one of the few Ys in the country that actually does that, both on membership and on programs, so that people with a household income of $60,000 or less are on a sliding scale, basically. And we try to tailor fit the rates for both programs and membership to the income level of the person who's inquiring about becoming a part of the Y.
So is there, are there any memberships that, you know, say you've got kids who have no income or are homeless or anything like that, they may have the most desperate need. Are there, you know, is there like a complete scholarship in those cases?
There is. And what we do is we'll suggest a part of the sliding scale. Basically, when people come in to join, we ask them to show us where their annual income is on a scale. It's a range. And then we show them a rate based on where their income falls. But if they say, well, I've got these extenuating circumstances, you know, can you help more? They can do that in consultation with our staff. And yes, absolutely, there are some people on our rolls that don't pay a thing, or some people volunteer for us and get a membership that way. So there are a lot of different ways for them to gain access to the Y, because our goal is that no one would be denied due to an inability to pay.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the evolving role of the YMCA here on No Limits. The springboard for the conversation is the opening of the new Y at Cityway in downtown Indianapolis. The grand opening ceremonies start on this Thursday, but the Y will not be open to the public until December 15th. If you would like to join the conversation, you can find us on email at nolimits@wfyi.org, on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a listener named Bob has done and just give us a call at 866-476-3881. Bob, welcome to the program.
Yes. Good afternoon to you and your guest. I just have a question about your mission statement. As far as, because I do know that the YMCA, you know, well, we know it's a Christian organization, and I was just curious to know that, is it possible that, you know, how do you guys incorporate that as far as the Christian beliefs and associate it to where it will have an influence on someone else's life other than the other thing, the whole purpose of the YMCA you have there as far as a facility available for, like, exercise and stuff like that. Do they somehow or another share that value with them? Because based upon, you know, the things that are going on in communities and everything, of having a lack of some kind of strong faith in their homes.
Thanks very much for the call, Bob. We'll see if we can get you an answer.
Thank you.
Well, our mission statement is to put Christian principles into practice through programs that build healthy spirit, mind, and body for all. And the way we try to focus on Christian principles is through the love, the care, and the service to other people. And a few ways that that manifests itself. Well, one thing that I didn't mention about the facility is all the new and renovated facilities in the YMCA of Greater Indianapolis now have their own chapels. And they also have volunteer chaplains, which is kind of unique to this particular association. So the volunteer chaplains are available on an everyday basis and every week basis to help people with issues that they might have from a spiritual standpoint. So that's available to people.
And obviously, from the time that the Y was first established, we now live in a much more diverse, multi-denominational culture. I want to push Bob's question just a little bit further. Has that created pressure on the Y to be somewhat more inclusive in its message? And how do you go about doing that? I see you both nodding your head, so I don't know which one of you wants that one. You want to go, Steve?
Yes, we take the Christian principle very, very strong in the organization. So everything that's done, from programs to before school, after school care, we keep in mind the Christian principle. And then when you look at the trouble that's going on in the world, we, in board meetings, we constantly focus on how can we use our Christian principles to help deliver a great message here.
But it's not just for people who are Christians, right, Eric?
Absolutely. Correct. Yeah, the last two words in the mission statement are for all.
For all.
And so the Y is going to be open to everybody, and hopefully people will feel like it's the most welcoming place, regardless of their personal faith, that they can walk anywhere in our community. And we want to make sure that everyone feels incredibly welcome when they walk in the doors of the YMCA. And our hope is that they'd be able to feel that love, that care, and that service that we want to provide for them. And all of our staff people and our volunteers are challenged to be servant leaders in the community.
How do you go about, it's one thing to say that, how do you go about trying to communicate that message? Because it is right there. YMCA, you know, people might see it and think, okay, if I'm not Christian, I should not come.
Right. Well, we've got some elective programs. For example, the YMCA offers some Bible studies and that kind of thing. We also have collaborations with churches who also are, you know, many times in our facilities on Sunday mornings. So we've got partnerships with churches here locally in the community.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the evolution of the YMCA. The springboard for the conversation is the opening of the new Y at Cityway in downtown Indianapolis. That's just slightly southeast of the circle, pretty much. My guests are Eric Ellsworth. He is the president and CEO of the YMCA of Greater Indianapolis, and Steve Corbett, who is on the YMCA board. If you want to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking today about the evolving role of the YMCA. The springboard for the conversation is the opening of the new Y at City Way in downtown Indianapolis. We're really talking about the way the Y's mission has changed over time. It is no longer a phrase that has particular resonance for me, your father's YMCA, since my dad did work as a youth director in YMCAs when I was a kid, into more of a community center and community-oriented approach. And I should say, Eric, that this is not the only Y where you're trying to do that, right?
Right. All of our YMCAs are focused on really deepening our programs and deepening the impact to the, both the community and the individual.
Are you trying to have each Y perhaps form have a slightly different profile or create a smorgasbord of options for people? Since we got the information from an earlier caller, Cheryl called in and asked, is my membership at the Fort Bend Y entitle me to come to the one at City Way and all of that? Does that give people more options?
It does, and we like around the Y, we like to say when you've seen one YMCA, you've seen one YMCA. And each one of the Ys has its each unique personality based on the neighborhood that it's serving. And we love the fact that all of our buildings look different and the programs even look different from Y to Y.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the YMCA and its evolving role. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, Mark. What's on your mind?
Hello, gentlemen. I was just wondering if you guys have a program for disabled veterans, active military, retired military, anything like that.
Thanks very much for the call, Mark.
So glad, Mark, that you called. Is it all right if I answer that?
Yes, John? Please, Eric.
The timing is perfect for your question because a couple of months ago, this past summer, we formed a partnership with the Veterans Administration Rattlebush Hospital, and we're now in a partnership where in 2016, for the first time, we're going to be offering a set of programs specifically for veterans. And we spent about the last year in monthly meetings with Rattlebush, talking with them on how the YMCA could help them really helping the needs of veterans in our community. And we learned some incredible things. We also are planning right now a new YMCA in Pike Township, where for the first time we'd have some designated space in one of our facilities just for veterans programs. And we learned that there are about 120,000 veterans in central Indiana. About 62,000 of those have access to the Rattlebush VA hospital. And so we've developed what we think is a dynamic partnership with the VA, and we'll be featuring some individual programs for the first time here in 2016.
Actually, we've got a call from a listener named Leah, who's got a question right on that point. Leah, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
Certainly.
I am a resident of Pike Township, and I've lived there for more than 12 years. And while I am thrilled to hear that the Pike Township YMCA is now moving forward, I would like to know if there's any reason you can give the public why it has taken so long to get this project off the ground. I know that at least four YMCA locations have been proposed, funded, and built in the 8 years since the Pike Township YMCA started in a storefront.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Leah.
It all really comes down to the financial resources that the Y has to build each facility, whether we have an ongoing partner or whether we have contributions. Normally, in most cases, we try and raise 80% of the funds before we start building a facility. The Pike situation currently right now, we've raised $3.5 million. We need another $6.5 million to be able to start construction. There was obviously a commitment from the closing down the Fall Creek Y, where there are funds that were escrowed for that to help build Pike. But we are in a very aggressive fundraising campaign to get Cityway open and then also to start on Pike. If you have any creative suggestions for us, we're certainly welcome to those. But we are hoping to get this accomplished soon.
This probably would be an appropriate moment. I have not given you the opportunity to deliver the URL if people want to get involved, get memberships, or to donate to the Y. So, Eric, I'm guessing you probably got that information tattooed in your brain and can spit it out at a moment's notice.
Right. Well, if people would like to support the Y, they can go online to www.ourcauseisyou.org, or they can call Jim Wood, who's the Chief Development Director of the Y, and his number is 317-266-9622. So that's how people can help if they'd like to help.
And if you could give those numbers again, people okay. often aren't just sitting by the radio.
Sure. The number to call is 317-266-9622, and the website is www.ourcauseisyou.org.
We've gotten an email from a listener named Pam, and if you would like to reach out to us by email, you can do so at nolimits@wfyi.org. Pam says, how much does it cost to join?
Well, with that sliding scale, it really varies a lot, I'd like to defer on that question right now and ask you, if you will, to call the YMCA office at 266-9622, and we'll give you membership rates based on your
on your income
situation.
Level and all of that.
Yes.
So there is no basic YMCA membership
That's
anymore.
Correct.
Unless you have a household income, it sounds like, above $60,000, and then it's flat above that point, right?
Correct.
Okay. And maybe to help Pam out, what is the rate if you have a household income of more than $60,000 a year?
The individual rate is somewhere in the neighborhood of about $40 a month for an adult and about half that for a young person.
And then are there still family memberships?
Yes, there certainly are. And that's kind of in the $79 range.
Okay. I want to ask, this new sense of mission, it's one of the questions I think that is important, because in the old days if you were going to go with the pools and gyms kind of concept, you could track how well you were doing just by how many people were using the facility. What constitutes success, though, in this new world? Because it's not just about the people who use it. It sounds like you're trying to look for some sort of transformation among the people who come there. So how are you going to measure that and know whether what you are doing is working? Eric, and I want to hear Steve's thoughts on this, too.
Sure. Well, we still – a lot of the thing that we consider success is still how well are the facilities being used. There's no doubt about that. The fact that the more people go into the Y, develop social relationships, utilize the facilities, the better off their mental, physical, and spiritual health will be. And so we still count a lot on that. A lot of the way that we measure is we do annual surveys with our members to try to find out if they're meeting their health and wellness goals, for example. And we're going to be doing more and more of that kind of measurement and looking at how we're impacting people's health from everything from how many days of they have of good mental health to what's their current body mass index. So that's we're getting more and more into more specific measurements with our members than we ever have in the past.
I've gotten an email from a listener named Nicholas who says, my experience doesn't confirm that the YMCA has a mission to serve everyone. I am disabled and have an income of $600 a month for the two of us. When I applied at the Y, I discovered the monthly charge would be $60 a month on our $600 income. After rent, food, and other expenses, an income of $600 a month doesn't allow anything like $60 a month for a Y membership.
Okay. And I'd ask him to let me just give my number, because I'd like to talk to him personally about his experience.
Are you sure you want to do that?
And like to see if I could help bring satisfaction to him. So my number is 690-4342.
And I'll tell you what, Nicholas, since we got this as an email, we will try to send that number back to you. And Nicholas, if you might give us some indication of if it's possible for us to share your email address with Eric Ellsworth here. We are talking about the WISE evolving mission here on No Limits. Mary, welcome to the program.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I just had a question. We live in Fountain Square, and we're so excited for the new YMCA. We have to drive to Ransford to use the Child Watch, and they're amazing. I was wondering if CityWay is going to have Child Watch.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Mary.
Eric? Thank you.
We sure do. We've got, in fact, right when you come in the front door off of South Street, our Child Watch Center is right on the left. I can't wait for you to see it. The staff is really excited, too, the Child Watch staff, about opening that center. That's going to be available to all of our members, and so we hope you'll be a regular user.
Also, one of the things we haven't talked about is the integration with the bike hub, too. Could you talk a little bit about that and what it says both about what the Y is trying to do and maybe about how Indianapolis is changing?
Right. Well, many people may not know that the YMCA operates the city's bicycle commuter station, and it doubles as a YMCA health and wellness facility. But even though we've got a spin cycling center in the new YMCA at CityWay, we're really devoted to this Indy Bike Hub YMCA, which is kind of a YMCA focused for the bicycle commuter public and also for people who are really interested in cycling. And our goal is for that Indy Bike Hub YMCA to be more and more of the cycling center for downtown Indianapolis.
How will you go ahead, Steve. Sounds like you want to jump in on that.
No.
Okay. Is that just going to be measured, success going to be measured there by usage, or are there other sort of measures that you're going to use to evaluate success?
I think the way we're going to evaluate success is by, there's so many different biking communities in and around Indianapolis, and, maybe you're in a bike club of 20 people, or maybe it's 50 people or 100, but they're scattered all over. But our hope is we'll measure success when the Indy Bike Hub YMCA is the core facility for all the people who are just devoted to using cycling as a means for not just their physical health, but also an important part of their social life.
And we should talk, because the springboard here is this new opening. What do you think, obviously the donors and other significant friends of the Y are going to get to start seeing this on Thursday. Everybody else is waiting until December 15th. When most of the public, the, YMCA members and all of that, walk in there for the first time, what do you think is going to impress them the most and seem to them to be the most significant sort of departure, thing that they have not seen before? I want to hear both your thoughts on that. I'll start with Steve.
First of all, it's an extremely large facility that offers a multitude of options for exercise. Like Eric had mentioned before, the two pools, the three basketball courts, the elevated track. And the facility has done exceptionally well. It's the state of the art. The colors are good. We've got fireplaces there. We have a very, very nice locker room. It is by far the state-of-the-art YMCA, we believe, in the Midwest right now.
Eric?
I'd also add that I think people are going to be blown away by the views on the running track. It's one of the most open floor plan YMCAs that I've ever seen. And when you're running the running track, you run down one corridor and you see Bankers Life Fieldhouse. You make the corner and you see Lucas Oil Stadium. You make the third turn, you're looking at the Eli Lilly Corporation. And I think people are going to love the open concept. I think they're going to see all their friends, that be able to see almost everybody in the building from certain central locations. So that's going to be an impactful thing for people. I think they're also going to just feel like it's a beautifully planned out facility.
When you say an elevated, how high elevated is the running track?
It's on the third story.
It's on the third story, so you're going to be
out of three stories.
Above the gym.
Right.
And basically, it sounds like panoramic windows, so that you're running along and you're looking out outside. I know that I speak for all other lap swimmers everywhere. The fact that you have a pool that is not at bath temperature is very, very appealing for them. I want us to look forward here a little bit. Let's say this place 10 years from now, if I brought you guys back in here. This has been a major push, obviously, for the YMCA of Greater Indianapolis. You know, we're talking about a $24 million lift and commitment of resources that means that some other projects, you know, weren't able to go ahead as fast, like the Pike Y and other places. What's going to tell you that it was worth the effort and that it did what it was supposed to? Eric, you go first, please.
At the deepest level, if we start to see ourselves improve in the health rankings of the American Fitness Index, every year the American College of Sports Medicine takes a look at the 50 largest cities in the U.S. and our goal is to be one of the top 10 healthiest cities in the country by 2025. So if we've made significant progress in that in 10 years from now, I'll say we're on track.
Okay, Steve, as a board member, what would you say is going to be success?
Well, listening to the community, listening to the membership as to what they think we can do next to serve. And the other thing, John, that I want to make sure I mention, that when the facilities get built, when we have donors that come in and contribute to the Y, those donors oftentimes have very specific locations in mind, and so we have to follow that lead, and that's why some facilities get built before others. But again, we'll be sensitive to what the membership and the community is telling us and then evaluate that and try and act accordingly.
Okay. What part of the new Y is your personal favorite? I'm presuming you're both YMCA members, right? And
yes.
And you both use the facility. Steve, what one are you looking forward to? What feature are you looking forward to the most?
I'm going to enjoy the elevated track, I think, and then also the pool, both the warm side of it and the cool side.
You're breaking my heart here, Steve, just breaking my heart. How about you, Eric?
I got a tie, so there are two spaces in the facility that really get me excited. And one is it's the northwest corner of the running track, because that's where you look out over the heart of the city. I love that spot. And then my second, because I'm a cycler, is the cycling center, because we're going to have a projection screen on the front wall where our instructors who teach the cycling programs can program in where in the world we'd like to ride our bikes that day. And we can, even if we're not in the south of France, we can pretend to be that day because it'll be projected on the front wall. So that's pretty exciting for me.
Yeah. And the views are great. I can't be remiss if I didn't say this, but looking out and seeing the Lucas Oil Stadium from there, it just provides a tremendous amount of excitement.
And that will have to be, that's an appropriate last word, and that will have to be the last word. I'd like to thank my guests, Eric Ellsworth and Steve Corbett, both from the Greater YMCA of Indianapolis. I am John Krall. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood, and board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.